Radio 4.
Old Harry's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Stephen O'Donnell as Gary the Demon, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
Baltrow.
Oh, come on.
It was. Are you questioning my authority?
Well, no, but...
Who are you again?
A demon.
And who am I?
Satan, Lord of Darkness.
And King of Demons, thank you. Now.
That's not fair.
Look, Gary, you know the rules of throw the priest as well as I do. Okay? The thrower must keep both feet on the ground while throwing and must hold the prelate by the ankles. Not what you were holding him by. Okay, now my go. There it goes. The old lift and... Snatch! Oh, look at that.
Well, that's not fair either.
Well, what now?
Well, how come you got to throw Cardinal Richelieu, a comparatively light Frenchman, when I had to chuck that big fat Greek, Archbishop Makarios?
Well, that's just the luck of the draw.
Well, like the last time we played, I ended up throwing an Ayatollah.
So what's your problem there?
Well, Ayatollahs don't travel so far, do they? It's those beers. Too much wind resistance.
Well, I can't play with you in this, mate.
Well, let's play something else.
No, I can't be bothered.
I know, Blind Man's Bluff. With a real blind man.
No.
Well, we could get Robert Maxwell and use him as a bouncy castle. You know, jump up and down on him until it really hurts.
Well, it's hardly a game, is it?
No, more of a juicy, really. Well, why don't you go up top and appear before some mortals? You haven't done that for a while.
Nah, it was embarrassing last time. Everyone just walked straight past me and assumed I'd been returned into the community.
You could call Molten Lead the Martin Luther.
I don't really like torturing Puritans. You can never be sure they're not secretly enjoying it.
You could possess someone.
Who?
Don't know. Eric Cantona?
Nah, not again. Too easy. I know. I suppose we could go for a chat with the professor some more.
Oh, must we?
Well, why not?
Well, he's always so positive and cheerful. It's depressing. We've never had anyone arrive down here and be like that.
Exactly, which is why I have to put a stop to it. He's put a dent in my 100% home record. I've got to break him, demolish that puke-making humanism of his.
What's humanism?
Well, it was very big in the Renaissance. All the arty trendies started going around congratulating themselves on being rational.
Is this humanism why the prof believes that man's glory is his progress towards civilization and knowledge?
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, bless him. Still, you've got to admit, the professor has improved the standard of conversation around here.
Meaning what?
Well, not meaning nothing. Meaning nothing. It's just, it's nice to talk about topics other than whether we should damp course the abyss. That's all, I mean.
Well, it needs doing, and it'll be a bigger job if we leave it.
I know. Come on, let's pay the proper visit. I want to check up on that scumball Thomas while we're there. I'll bring Fido along. I want them to meet him.
All right, but look, can we just have a quick go on Maxwell first?
All right, then. Captain Bob!
Oh, no.
Afraid so.
Back to me first.
You see, Thomas, the great wonder of life is that we never know the full answer. There are no certainties. In fact, the more we investigate the fantastic complexity of the world around us, the more we realise that nothing is ever quite what it seems.
Oh, good. So I'm not being bored rigid by some egg-heady old fart.
Allow me to illustrate.
And I'm not really in hell, thanks to a road crash caused by the aforementioned egg-heady old fart?
We've been over that before. I was simply observing the speed limit, and you saw fit to deliberately bump me from behind.
I hate you. If you weren't already dead, I'd bloody kill you.
But that's what I mean. How do we know we are dead and in hell? It only seems that way. Now, I was going to illustrate. Now, what's this I'm holding up?
Spoon.
And what are the characteristics...
Where did you find that?
Well, it was just lying over there in the corner. Now, what are the characteristics of this spoon? It's metallic, stiff, the most inanimate of objects, wouldn't you say? And yet, this spoon is composed of countless jiggling atoms, and inside those atoms, inconceivably tiny particles, electrons, neutrons, gluons, quarks, are whizzing around at unimaginable speeds, absorbing, emitting, and exchanging huge charges of energy in a vibrant pattern of dynamic waves. So you see, this apparently inert spoon is, in actual fact, a maelstrom of perpetual movement.
Well, of course it is. I know that.
Well, the point I'm making is that we can never fully trust our perceptions. For instance, when you were in your mother's womb...
I never did that. Not once. That was an unfounded rumour. I'll sue.
I meant as a baby in your mother's womb.
Oh, right, yes. Yes, of course, yes.
Now, as a fetus, you would have perceived the world as a dark, solitary place, warm, full of liquid, where you were fed intravenously through a pink tube. But every baby suddenly discovers that this world is, in fact, a huge, cold, brightly coloured place, where you breathe air and eat solids through your mouth. One world gives way to another. But the fetus can't know of the world that awaits it, any more than a quark knows that it's inside a spoon.
Give me that spoon. Yes, of course. Suddenly it all becomes very clear to me.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I can dig my way out with this. But while you were spouting all that gibberish, I was thinking I could use this spoon to dig an escape tunnel.
Escape to where?
Well, who's to know? I mean, you're absolutely right. We shouldn't accept things at face value. There could be all sorts of rational explanations for this place. I mean, maybe we've been kidnapped by students for rag week. Who knows? And who's to say the living world isn't just a few feet above us, eh? Maybe there is hope if I dig hard enough.
I don't think it is part of a ragweed stunt, and I'm not sure tunnelling your way out is possible.
With me, Professor, anything is possible.
Oh, yes, I can well believe that.
They said it was impossible for me to bribe my way out of those drink-driving charges, but I managed it. And they never found out where I buried the lollipop lady either. They said it was impossible to sack the whole workforce and re-employ them at a third of the wages, but I did it. That's the kind of can-do guy I am. Nothing daunts me. Oh, oh God, it's him.
Professor, we've got something very interesting to show you. You're hiding something behind your back, Thomas?
No, your most evil magnificence. Pray, what's this interesting thing you have to show us, prince of all you survey?
Gary's got it. Put it on the floor, Gary.
Get that disgusting jellyfish thing away from me.
Please, Fido is not a jellyfish. Jellyfish don't have rows of sharp teeth like he's got.
What is it?
Well, you know how man's evolved from ape-like creatures, which probably evolved from small mammals? Mammals which were descended from a marine creature?
Yes.
Well, this is it.
What? Well, you don't mean it.
The marine creature, yeah. Man's ancestor. He's a 6-foot-wide amoeba, basically, except that he's got a gaping mouth, stinging tentacles, and the ability to spit venom at his prey.
Cute, isn't he?
That's vile.
Oh, and he can jump 10 feet, I forgot.
Down, boy!
So, what you're saying is, we all started out as this creature, and then slowly we evolved upwards into human beings.
Well, I'd quibble with the use of the word upwards, yeah, but basically that's it. Yes, in fact, genetically speaking, a part of every human being's DNA is the same as this little fella's. As much as 60% if you're Scottish.
He's fascinating. He's fascinating. If only Darwin could see this.
Oh, we've shown it to him.
We didn't so much show it to him as sort of let Fido attack him, really.
Well, I'm quite prepared to accept that it is an ancestor of ours. But of course, it dates from before the crucial and most defining evolutionary stage.
Hey.
Well, it clearly belongs to a class of coelenterates. And as such, it has a primitive nervous system of sorts, but it has no brain, no intelligence.
What are you talking about? It was bright enough to attack Thomas.
The crucial factor was the development of the mammalian brain. That's what led to the miracle of the human mind, and thus to man's intellectual development.
And where exactly will we find evidence for this intellectual development?
Well,
I know. It's in the minds of those sad buggers who spend every waking hour in the newsagents queuing for lottery tickets.
Yeah, when statistically they could get shorter odds than Richard and Judy winning the mixed doubles at Wimbledon.
Yeah. Is that where we can find this intellectual development?
No, but...
Perhaps it's in the mental processes of the even sadder wankers who find the internet exciting.
The internet is exciting, actually.
I rest my case.
It's a fantastic boost to human communication, if you must know. For instance, the other week, I accessed this really interesting newsletter. It listed all the jokes in the TV series Bottom that include the word arse.
Wow.
Exactly. You see, you just can't find that sort of stuff in books.
Look, I know it suits your argument to land on these banal examples, but the triumph of the human spirit that I'm talking about can clearly be found in, say, the inventiveness of Leonardo da Vinci, or the poetry and insight of Shakespeare, or the instinctive theories of Einstein.
Okay, hold it right there. You're coming with us. Come on, Gary.
Come in.
Hey, whoa. You're not leaving this revolting, slimy thing here, are you?
Well, why? Does Fido bother you?
Yes, he does. He's creepy and disgusting, and worst of all, he's somehow vaguely familiar.
All right, I'll take him with me. See you later.
Wanna bet? This spoon is my ticket to freedom, pal. Oh, yes, I'll confound them all once again. Nobody holds me hostage, and no, sir. They'll see Thomas Quentin Crimp. Will triumph yet again. Oh, sod it, I've bent my spoon.
He's along here somewhere.
Who are those poor souls down there? The ones moaning and gnashing their teeth.
Oh, Lloyd's names.
Well, what are you doing to them?
Nothing, they always make that noise. Now, don't get too near to Fido, Professor. He's not really suitable for a pet, you know, Gary.
Why not?
Well, partly because he's not house-trained, but mainly because he's a carnivorous mutant amoeba. And he looks stupid on that lead. here we are. Oi! Renaissance man, you got company.
Leave me alone.
My God, it's Leonardo da Vinci.
Who wants to know?
I recognize you from your self-portrait.
Really?
Oh, yes, it's a wonderful likeness. I'm a great admirer of yours, Mr. Da Vinci. I've seen all your paintings and those fantastic anatomical drawings. And well, I know it's a cliche, but I still find myself transfixed whenever I look at the Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah, that bitch.
Well, the smile that you captured, it's astonishing. It just draws you in.
All I asked her to do was to show a bit of cleavage just to make the thing a little more commercial. But would she? No, miserable cow.
The professor here feels you embody the grandeur of the human spirit, Leonardo. Isn't that right, Professor?
Yes.
I never got a penny for my helicopter, you know.
Sorry?
I drew a design for a helicopter with the rotor blade and everything. Did I ever see any royalties? Not frigging highly.
Well, great artists rarely get the reward they deserve, you know.
Well, you can say that again. The jobs I created in Florence for stonemasons and scaffolders, did I get a thank you? No, sir. They booted me out of town, accused me of committing sodomy with Botticelli.
Botticelli?
He's another artist.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was a product.
Well, I think you've received a lot more recognition than you realize. You're seen as the moving spirit of the Renaissance.
Oh, yeah, the Renaissance. What a waste of time that was. Years of chronic backache working on statues and paintings and frescoes full of stupid fat nymphs. I'd have been better off going to insurance.
Not disappointed, are you, Prof?
Well, I mean, he may be a little less positive in outlook than I'd imagine, but you can't question his achievements. And I really don't think you've discredited my thesis in any way.
Gary, fetch the bard, will you?
The bard?
Yeah, she wouldn't have flashed any thigh either.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you, Leonardo. Here he is. I'll do the introductions. Professor Richard Whittingham. This is William Shakespeare.
Very pleased to meet you.
This is an enormous honour for me.
Yes, it is rather, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Because I'm the greatest writer in the English language, you know.
Yes, yes.
Hey, what's your favourite show of mine, then?
Well, I think I'd have to say Hamlet.
Oh, yeah, that was a great show, wasn't it? One of the best I wrote, I reckon.
But you didn't write it all on your own now, Will, did you?
I might have had a little bit of help.
I think you had quite a lot of help on all your plays, Will.
There was creative collaboration, yes.
Oh, this is fascinating. Who did you co-write with? Was it Bacon or Marlowe or Ben Jonson?
No, it was my mate Trevor, actually.
Trevor?
Trevor Murgatroyd.
So why didn't this Trevor chap's name appear in any of the folios?
Well, Trevor had a full-time job driving the play carts, and he didn't want his boss to know he was moonlighting. But, you know, I wrote the bulk of it.
Well, you should be very proud. Yes. I mean, so many wonderful passages. Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt
and thaw and resolve itself into a dew. Yeah, yeah.
Did you write that?
Resolve itself into a dew. No, I think that was one of Trev's, actually.
To be or not to be?
That's another of Trev's, yeah. Yeah, he was dead good at that morbid stuff. I was more of a gags man myself, you know. The business with the donkey's ears. That was me. Very funny, that.
So what happened to this Trevor?
Well, it was a bit unfortunate, actually. See, he cut some of Burbage's lines during some rehearsals of Cymbeline, and there was a bit of artistic difference, and so Burbage stabbed him.
What? You're not seriously telling me that an actor would kill someone just because they cut some of his lines?
You've not worked in the theatre, have you?
But that's awful. I mean, was the murder reported?
Well, we would have done, obviously, but Burbage was a very big draw at the box office, and with all those pre-sales, well, you know how it is.
So where's this poor fellow buried?
Oh, we didn't bury him. Oh, no, no, the props boy stuck him on a long stick, and for years we used him as the ghost in Hamlet. Very convincing he was, too. Till he started to fall apart a bit. Eddie Roudup, would you like my autograph? I bet you would.
Why would you want the autograph of a charlatan?
Hey, excuse me. But who pushed your button, you big eye type poof?
How dare you, you brahmi git?
Oh, fire, yeah. Come on, then. Even say, get out of
here. No, please. Oh, no, please stop it. This is most undignified.
Yeah, my money's on Leonardo. There's more anger in him, and he's Italian.
No, don't join him, Fido. Down, boy, down.
What a great bundle, eh, Prof? Always nice to meet your heroes, isn't it?
Come on. You can do it. Keep digging. Prove them all wrong again, all the snipers and the doubters and the backstabbers who keep making out you're paranoid.
Hello? Anybody there?
Get out! Go on. You can't come down here. This is my escape tunnel.
Yes, yes. Good grief. This tunnel must be 500 yards long.
It's pretty impressive with just a spoon, eh?
Look at the state of you. You're covered in cuts and grazes. You better stop for a rest.
Rest is for wimps.
Oh, but Thomas...
Look, will you just leave me alone?
Can I do anything to help?
Yes, you could stop breathing.
Your spoon's bent.
I'm aware of that, thank you.
Do you like Shakespeare, Thomas?
Nah, lots of attention seekers strutting around in tight at taxpayers' expense. Why?
Oh, nothing. I just met him, that's all. Well, I didn't actually meet him. No, the sublime individual we know as Shakespeare was butchered by his leading man and then used as a prop. His satanic majesty took me on a tour of my heroes. Leonardo da Vinci was a whinger. Mozart just rolled on the floor, having a tantrum. Still, it was nice to meet Alexander Fleming. Though it was something of a disappointment to learn that he was driven to discover penicillin because he couldn't face telling his wife he had the clap. I don't know. Who could imagine that so many great minds could be so small?
Well, what are you so bothered about? According to you, this whole experience is just one big illusion, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Are you sure I can't help?
Positive. You just watch. You see, you're one of life's watchers, whereas I'm a doer. This isn't the only tunnel I've dug in now. There are others, decoy tunnels, to confuse the enemy, throw them off the scent. Perhaps I should booby-trap them.
You don't think you're getting a little obsessive about this?
You've been talking to my wife, haven't you?
No.
Yes, you have. That could have been her talking. Don't you think you're being a bit obsessive? It's only the parents' egg and spoon race, after all. Is it really necessary to take amphetamines? But I won, though, didn't I? By 4.5 yards. She never understood about me being a winner, you know. No. You have to compete every second of every day just to stay ahead. It never stops. Never. It's like being a hamster in a bloody wheel and the wheel just keeps turning faster and faster and faster and faster.
All right, let it all out. You have a good cry.
I'm not crying. Winners don't cry. It's just I'm allergic to spoons.
Oh, right. I see.
Can you see that?
See what?
Down there. The end of my tunnel. It's getting brighter.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. And when I get out of whatever this place is into whatever is up there, I'll send you a card.
Right, thank you.
You'll know it's for you. It'll be addressed to Loser.
Coral, let us not forget. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Oh, this one's a biggie.
Hallelujah, yes indeed.
There he goes.
We can run from his sword of wrath, but we can't hide, brothers, and know he's watching us.
Great throw, Gary. Yeah, but just a fraction short of my winning distance. Hard luck.
Yeah, well, that wasn't fair.
Sorry?
Well, you recorded that winning throw with a Tibetan child priest.
He was a very big child priest. Can't you control that stupid thing?
Don't get him upset. I've made him fall off his perch now. Where are you off to?
Well, by my reckoning, our professor is hovering on the brink of the precipice of despair, so I'm just going to give him one last push. Back in a bit.
Yeah, back in a bit. I don't know, boy. He spends more time with that professor than he spends with us, doesn't he? Are you hungry, my lovely? Are you? Would you like a bit of Robert Maxwell? Would you? Come on, then. Come on. Not too much, though, but you'll be sick.
Well, Prof, did you enjoy meeting Einstein?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Albert Einstein, the man who found the keys to the physical laws of the universe, who somehow fathomed the extraordinary mysteries of matter and energy.
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest human mind there's ever been.
Yes.
And yet all he did was sit there flicking bogeys at you.
Yes, Well, obviously his morale's at a bit of a low ebb.
Yes, as soon as he arrived down here, he just went to pieces. See, time may be relative, but eternity isn't.
Well, you can't take away his achievements. He revealed the true nature of the universe.
Ah, oh, I want to show you something. Hold tight.
What's happening? Where are we going?
Up top to the world you left. There, we've arrived.
Well, this doesn't look very familiar. Where are we?
We're inside a nuclear reaction.
What?
I've shrunk us, one of the perks you get when you're a supernatural being. We are now the size of subatomic particles, and we're parked slap bang in the middle of a nuclear chain reaction. Oh, they're a bit nippy, those electrons, aren't they?
This is wonderful. I've studied the theory of these things all my life, but to actually see nuclear physics in action...
Well, that was a good one, all sparkly.
For years we wondered whether they are tiny points or waves or strings, and they're all of these things. Look, they just keep changing. Protons and electrons, and this is fantastic. What's that funny-shaped one there?
Well, you know how things always go wrong at the worst possible moment? You know, something solid lets you down, like your key snaps in the lock or your foot goes through a floorboard.
Yeah?
Well, that's what causes it. It's a particle that whizzes around deliberately colliding with all the others. It's a troublemaker, basically.
Well, that's absurd. These things don't exercise free will.
Excuse me, could you just move to one side, please? I'm aiming for that proton.
Yes, yes, of course. They talk!
Yes, they talk. Well, they argue, mostly. You know, over who should fuse with who, falling out all the time. They're very temperamental.
Amazing!
Funny, isn't it? All that time as a scientist, you were looking for some idyllic order and symmetry, and the truth is, the universe is powered by conflict and vandalism. Bit of a letdown, eh?
Not at all. We got the basic components right, and that was Einstein's glory. Without his genius, man might never have gained access to this world.
Yeah, yeah, come on, come on. We better go before the explosion.
What explosion?
Well, this is all happening inside an atomic bomb. Only a small one, mate.
Good Lord.
It's a secret underground test by the Chinese. Then they're going to sell the technology to Saddam Hussein or use it to nuke the Marsh Arabs.
What?
Well, he was going to gas them again, but the British had run out of parts, you know, and you're only as good as your supplier, aren't you? If you don't believe me, I can arrange for us to watch it being discussed at one of Saddam's cabinet meetings. Though they're not as much fun as they used to be. He's run out of relatives to shoot. He used to get through two or three per session, but...
Can we go, please? I've seen enough.
Well, there goes the bomb. Nice to see Einstein's work being put to such practical use, isn't it? Come on! Witnessing atomic explosions from the inside always gives me a bit of an headache.
So, you've finally broken the professor, you reckon?
I think so, yeah. He went very quiet on the way back, yeah. I don't think we'll be hearing any more of that triumph of the human spirit bollocks.
You must be well pleased.
Well, I thought I would be, but, I don't know.
Still, you'll be spending less time with him now, eh?
You should have seen his face when he saw all those atomic particles there. He was full of, what do they call the emotion? The one where they're that strange, sloppy smile that looks like someone's stolen their brain.
Joy?
That's it. Hey, I'm glad I'll never go through that, eh? Oh, who needs it? Not us.
Oh, by the way... I lost Fido.
Oh, I'm sorry. What happened?
Robert Maxwell ate him.
Oh, no.
Got to get Maxwell back, though.
No, I should hope so, yeah. Incidentally, Gary, this isn't meant as a criticism or anything, but haven't you been neglecting the punishment of the loathsome Thomas a bit?
Hey?
Well, it's just you don't seem to have been tormenting him recently.
Yes, I have. I left that spoon there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot, yeah. The spoon was a belter.
Yeah, it's nice and economical, isn't it? Tormenting them with their own personality.
Oh, how far's he tunneled now?
Bloody miles. I think he's about to come up in the living world, but by my calculations, he should be emerging in the lake of fire about now. There he goes.
He's a good screamer, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he'll be horribly charred and burnt, of course, from the backdraft.
We'll go taunt him, shall we?
And why not? Look at his face, just like the old Jolson.
Hey, Thomas, you found out what that light at the end of the tunnel was then?
Leave me alone.
I think you're being rather unkind. Thomas here is obviously in a lot of pain.
Yeah, but you got to laugh, haven't you? I mean, he's managed to turn himself into a human macaroon, and all because he became obsessed with some ludicrous enterprise that was totally futile and meaningless.
And yet somehow magnificent.
What?
Well, have a look down the hole. See what he's done? I mean, that tunnel stretches an extraordinary distance. And he hasn't just done the one tunnel. No, there's dozens of other tunnels branch off it. It's an extraordinary catacomb, a superb feat of engineering, dug by just one man using only his willpower and a spoon.
A bent spoon.
A bent spoon. And all right, the end result might have been abject failure, humiliation and third-degree burns, and okay, so he did it for stupid, selfish reasons. And yet, you have to admit there's something heroic about it. Something that testifies to the unquenchability of the human spirit.
Alfred, don't start that again.
No, I have to admit you shook me with Leonardo and Shakespeare and Einstein and his bogies. I'd always thought of them as great men, but I realise now no men are great.
That's right, all men are equal.
Equally crap.
But there is greatness in man.
Oh.
And Thomas here has given us a glimpse of it. He's shown that it's not what we achieve, it's the aspiration to achieve it. The desire to attempt the impossible. That's ultimately the triumph of the human spirit.
You're just being cussed now, you contrary old...
Calm down, boss.
No, he's deliberately trying to wind me up. He knows he's talking complete garbage. He's just trying to rile me because he knows I won the argument. And so he's pretending to find some spiritual significance in Thomas, the human turd here.
Take it easy.
I will not take it easy. I am Satan, and I am allowed to get very cross. Then I'm extremely cross now, as you will probably have realized from the flames shooting out of my mouth. And I... Oh! Oh! Oh!
Bloody hell. Where's he rocketed off to?
Well, when he gets that angry, he just has to go up top and foment unspeakable evil. There's probably some new dreadful atrocity happening right now. It'll be the first item on news at 10, and it's all your fault. Still, nice to see him back to his old self. I'll catch you later, boys. I'm off to watch Robert Maxwell being spit-roasted by 200 Daily Mirror pensioners.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes, I'm hunky-dory. I love having my flesh hanging off me in blackened lumps. Of course, not that I should worry about that.
Sorry?
Well, you were saying earlier that we shouldn't necessarily trust our perceptions to tell us what is real.
Oh, yes, indeed.
This might not really be hell, you said, an observation which prompted me to start tunnelling, as I recall. Still, it's a fascinating question, whether there is such a thing as objective reality.
Isn't it just?
Yes. For instance, how real is this spoon? Who can say? It looks real. It feels real.
Ow!
It sounds real. But is it? Is that nosebleed you're having real? Or indeed, the nose?
Ow!
It sounds real, as does your skull.
Oh, stop!
Let's explore this philosophical mystery further.
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Stephen O'Donnell as Gary, with Philip Pope and Michael Fenton Stevens. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
Episode 4 of Old Harry's Game at the same time next week.